If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to ask you to turn with us, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 1. There's going to be some other passages of Scripture we're going to read to you. John chapter 3, St. John chapter 3. You may want to write these down. I'll repeat them for you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, everybody say the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifested, that means, of course, revealed, in these last times for you. Everybody say for me, because it was for you. Amen. Who by him or through him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith and hope is not in anything else but God. And this is the subject that we're going to be speaking on this morning, and this is part two. Salvation is a matter of birth. Salvation is a matter of birth. Verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls. Everybody say purified. In obeying the truth, say obeying, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, everybody say born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we're going to be speaking to you about corruptible seed and incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh, verse 24, is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Everybody say forever. And this is the word, amen, by which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, so you're going to find in your Bible 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start reading with verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So he's speaking of two men here. And he tells us who they are in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Skip down to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So what is from Adam and Eve is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man, verse 47, so he's telling us here that there's a natural birth and a spiritual birth. The first man is of the earth. He's earthly. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. How many of us are earthy? Have you been born into this world? Then you're earthy. You're of Adam. He was the first man. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren. Verse 50. Very important verse. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Then let's go to John chapter 3. St. John, Gospel of John chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he was a very religious man, if not one of the most religious men that ever lived. The same came to Jesus by night, verse 2 of John chapter 3, and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Say, born again. So Nicodemus didn't understand that at all. Most people don't. So in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, this is Jesus still speaking, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, don't be amazed, that I said unto you, you must be born again. And then he likens the new birth, or the spiritual birth, as the wind. In this case, it's the wind of the Holy Spirit. But he's looking at the wind and using the example of the wind. It blows where it listeth, or wherever it wants to. You can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I'm going to introduce this like this. Human beings cannot birth themselves into the kingdom of God. We cannot, as human beings, birth ourselves into the kingdom of God. Any more than we birth ourselves into this world. It takes an act of God. Which means to be saved from hell and have heaven as our eternal home, or to have eternal life by keeping the Ten Commandments, or performing religious rules and regulations, or by joining a church, or living a good life, and any other such ideas that man may have. It's impossible to save ourselves. That will not birth us into the kingdom of God. Does everybody understand that? The only means to having eternal life is to be born again by the Spirit of God. And only God, through the Holy Spirit, can do that. For example, Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not by the works of flesh which we have done, but I think this is Titus 3, 5, and 6. I don't have it written down. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not by works. It's not by works. Now, this is God's Word. It's not by works which you can do. Not any of us can be saved by our works. Our works are is a result of God placing us into the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, because now, being a new creation, being baptized into the body of Christ through His Spirit, we can now work and cooperate with God so that He can work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Everybody say grace. What does that mean? That means love. It's by God's love only that we can be saved. And it doesn't say, for by grace through works you are saved. Does it say that? For grace are you saved how? Faith. Where do you get faith to be saved? Anybody know Romans chapter 12, verse 1? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's why the gospel is being preached all over the world, so that men could believe God and have faith so they could put their trust in Him and they could be saved and be born again, so God could perform the miraculous new birth in their lives. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You with me? It's not of ourselves. Even the faith to be saved is not of ourselves. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? All right, so by grace we're saved by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So how do we get saved? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, this is how you get saved, folks. And if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that simple? If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, now that doesn't just mean we say, Lord Jesus, I confess you with my mouth. It means if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That means I'm confessing that I'm no longer going to be Lord or God or as the self, the person in control in my life. That means I want to put my trust in the Lord. And it also means to be saved. I understand I can't save myself by joining a church or doing good works or any of those things. I have to come and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that means now, we're going to be saved. Amen? We're saved. We're born again at that moment. If we meant it with all of our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sinned. I've come short of the glory. I can't save myself. If I'm going to be saved, it's going to be by your death, your burial, the shedding of your blood on the cross and Calvary, so I can be saved. That's the only way I can be saved. So I want you to be my Lord. I want you to take over my life. Because up until that point in time, we pretty much lived a selfish, self-centered life. Are you with me? I joined the church when I was 12 years old. And supposedly I was saved. Now, whether I was or not, I don't know. I probably was, because God says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, even though we don't know what we're doing. Amen. So I come in as to Jesus as a little 12-year-old boy, and I believe he saved me. But I want to tell you, from 12 to 13, or from whatever to 19, I lived like hell on earth. I'm telling you. I did just about everything that a man or could do in order to not be saved. All I was a church member, and I was lost as a gosling, whatever that means. My mother told me that years ago. I never did understand exactly what it meant, but it seemed to be pretty bad to me. Pretty lost. I wasn't saved as far as I knew. But when I was 19, God touched my life, and he said, will you allow me to be Lord in your life? And I said, yes. And I walked from a bench in the back to the front of an altar, kind of like what we have here, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, be merciful to... I don't remember exactly what I said, but I just said, Lord, I cast all... I'm be merciful unto me, a sinner. I've sinned. I need to be saved. And at that time, I couldn't explain to you what actually happened. But I know from that time to this time, I have never, ever been the same. God did something in my life. So you may not understand a whole lot about what happened to you, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can do that driving down the highway in your automobile, as long as you mean it. I need somebody to run my life. I need you to be my Lord. And I believe you died for me, and I want you to come into my life and make me a new creation. Amen? And I'll guarantee you may not understand it, but you will know something happened to you. You will know something happened to you. You're no longer the same. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Amen? So we're all, those of us who have done that, made a confession. Now, there's some other things that we need to do. We need to confess that publicly before men. And that's why we have churches, so people can come forward and confess publicly before men that Jesus is Lord. And I want him to be my Lord, and I want him to run my life. Now, I did that, and I need to say this, I need to add this, because I did that when I was 19 years old. Have I lived a perfect life from that time to this? I mean, have I never done anything wrong? Have I ever been angry and wanted to hit somebody, or hurt them, or do them harm? Have I ever taken God's name in vain? Have I ever been selfish or self-centered? have always done everything that God told me to do or wanted me to do when I knew He wanted me to do it? Well, if I say yes and you believe that, then God have mercy on you. That's all I can say. Because I haven't. But I have been able, because the Lord Jesus shed His blood for my sins, I have been able to come to God and do what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And what does it say over there? It says, as Christians, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. We may not be faithful, but He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 9, your little book of John, 1 John 9. You might need to memorize that verse. Because since I've been a Christian, there's been a lot of things that have happened to me. Have you killed anybody? No, but I sure did hate them. And I shared the story, I think, last Sunday. I've shared it here several times. A Christian man supposedly did me very wrong and took $5,000 from me. And I want you to know, if I could have got my hands on him, he would have been a dead man. I hated him with a purple passion. I just couldn't get to him. I was in Texas and he was in Oklahoma. And I was laying in my bed at 2 o'clock. One morning, hating that man and thinking, if I can get over there, I'll kill his dog, I'll kill his cat, I'll burn his house, and then I'll get him. And if his wife gets in the way, I'll get her too. And God said to me in my spirit, in my mind, because He knew I was mad, He said, you get out of this bed and get on your knees right now and you forgive that man. And I said, here's what I said. I remember just like it was yesterday. I said, Lord, I'm going to get out of the bed. And I did. I said, I'm going to get on my knees. And I did. And I'm going to say, I forgive that man, but Lord, I want you to know it's not coming from my heart. I don't mean it. I won't tell you that before I even do it. And so I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I forgive. And I mentioned the man's name. And at the moment that I mentioned that man's name, the love of God, not my love, the love of God filled me with His love for that man. And I actually prayed for that man that God would save his soul. That's the love of God. Love your enemies. We can't love our enemies without the love of God. Amen? You ever try to do that? If you have, you found that's pretty much possible. You want to be truthful and honest about it. I can't love that person. But with God's help, I can. And that's what He wants us to do. Because forgive, the Bible says, and it shall forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. Amen? You know what God said? So we need to forgive. And when we forgive, God forgives us when we ask Him. God is merciful. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing, that God is merciful. Now, we're talking on the subject of corruption, and incorruption is a matter of birth. What I want to tell you, that doesn't necessarily mean that God saves you as a sinner. It means that, but it also means that we're sinners because we were born into this world and we were born of Adam and we were born to sin. We can't help but sin. Pride is a sin. Jealousy is a sin. Anger is a sin. Animosity is a sin. Hate is a sin. Taking God's name in vain is a sin. Calling God and saying you're believing on Him and you don't is a sin. Calling Him Lord and He's not your Lord is a sin. And the Bible says, we have, speaking of mankind or humanity, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's why we need a Savior. So, being born of corruptible seed, which Adam is the corruptible seed. His seed was the corruptible seed. When my mom said, because everyone, when she got married and my dad, she and my dad got married, every one of her girlfriends that she went to high school with for 3 years, they'd all had at least one child. And she was childish, had no children. And when she went to God and said, God, if you'll just, and she went to an altar and prayed, and she said, God, if you'll just give me a little boy, I'll give him to you for the rest of his life. Well, boy, if I'd have known that, I would have really been mad at her. Because she had a little boy, for sure. And he wasn't a good little boy, he was a mean little boy. And I said earlier, he did just about everything anybody could ever do to prove that he was born of Adam. And so when I, at the preaching of the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, when I heard the Word of God, I married my wife. Thank God. She wasn't my wife before I married her. You understand? I married Pat. Pat said, well, she was brought up in a home where there was a lot of cussing, a lot of drinking, a lot of fighting, and all kinds of things going on. But let me tell you, it wasn't long after Pat that I got saved and committed my life to Christ that Pat's mom and dad got saved and all that stopped. Amen. But that's, and so she told me, she said, Lewis, if I'm going to marry you, I want you to know right now, you're going to quit drinking. There will be no drinking. I said, yes, ma'am. Of course, she didn't know. When she was here, and I was off in the military going to Fort Benning, Georgia, and with the 101 Airborne or wherever I was going, that I had a few drinks. But God knew. Not that drinking was so bad. It was that I told her I wouldn't drink, so I was a liar. And that's exactly right. And the Bible says all liars shall have their place in hell. And so she said, well, we're going to, so we got married and said, well, we're going to church. I said, okay. So we started going to church. On Wednesday night, the associate pastor was preaching. We were there. We were going to church all the time. I thought, my Lord, I never knew there's church services. We went on Wednesday night, Sunday night. Seemed like every time the church doors were open. Yeah, it was a good thing. I didn't think it was good, but it was good. And the Lord got a hold of me and he said, because the preacher was preaching, Brother Willie Bearfield, I'll never forget him, his name, what he preached on that Sunday night or Wednesday night. He said, God's calling somebody here. He wants him to be in the ministry. I felt something strange come over me. I thought, my Lord, that can't be me. And so I talked to him after the service, and I said, I didn't come forward, but I said, I want you to know I sure felt funny. And he said, well, go talk to the pastor, Lewis. It's probably that God is calling you. And I said, oh my goodness. Because back then in that church, or that denomination, you were called to be a missionary to Africa or China or Timbuktu. Or to be this or to be that. You didn't know what God was calling you to. And I thought, boy, so I went and talked to my pastor, and he said, well, it doesn't matter what God's calling you to, Lewis. Sunday morning, you just come to the altar. If you mean it with your heart, you just come to the altar and say you're giving yourself to the Lord and you want his will to be done in your life, and he's going to be your Lord from now on. And if you mean that, you come. And I did. And I said, where'd I go from here? Because I did that. The first thing he said is, you're going to teach the men's Bible class on Sunday morning. I said, what? There were men there, 70, 80. I mean, goodness. There was a lot of men. And man, I started studying. Because I started teaching. And I have never been the same since from that either. I found out if I'd put my trust in God, I did have to study. I did have to find out what he wanted to preach on. But sometimes it may only be one word or one scripture. And then I didn't have to worry about anything. I did. My knees didn't just knock. They passed each other. But I learned that whatever he told me to do, if I did it and I acted upon it, he would work through me both to do it will and to do of his good pleasure. All I had to do is just be submissive. And boy, I learned more preaching and teaching to people than they did. Really. Because things come out of my mouth, I don't even know how or where they came from. I know do now. I know they came from God. Amen? So I just wanted to tell you all of this, that if you're born from Adam, you've been born to the corruptible seed. But when you're born again through the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born of incorruptible seed. And I want to tell you what that means. Just as the corruptible seed can't be changed, the only thing that can happen to it is that it has to die. You can't change it. The incorruptible seed can't be corruptible. And the reason it can't be is because the incorruptible seed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're saved not because of who we are. We're saved because of who God's Son is and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, and that he has birthed us again of the incorruptible seed, and now we're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's faith. That's faith. So from then on, we walk and allow the incorruptible seed. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are to put off the old man, which is of... Are you with me? Everybody say, put off. We are to put off the old man, which is the corruptible seed, Amen. We're to do that and be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we do that by faith. In other words, we just say, Lord, this is a good thing to do every morning when you first wake up. Lord, this is the day you've made. I'm a new creation in Christ. And I want you to work your will in me today and bring praise and honor and glory to your name and help me to live the way you want me to live. Because I realize I still have the old man, the corruptible seed, and you tell me to put off the flesh, that old man, and be renewed in the spirit of my mind, and put on the new man. So the best I know how, I'm putting on the new man today in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be a new creation. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. You're my Lord. And make him Lord. Amen? Because he is Lord. If you've really confessed him, the Lord, he's been born again by the Spirit of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. Amen? If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I don't care, and you've called on God, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's not a liar. And so if you called on the name of the Lord and you meant it with all your heart, let me tell you something right now, hon, you're saved. Now, the enemy will come, and in your mind, which is the battleground, he can't accuse you any longer. In Job's time, he could go before God and before the angels, and he could accuse Job, and he could accuse us. He doesn't do that anymore, but he can accuse us, look, right here in our minds. So he wants to accuse us right here. You mean you just got so angry you wanted that man, you wanted to hit that man? You mean you didn't like what that woman said and you just would like to slap the fire out of her? You mean you don't love your wife like you ought to? You mean whatever. And there's so many things that he can accuse us of, it's unbelievable. And when he is the accuser in our minds, what he's trying to do is to get to doubt our faith and start walking in the old man again. Instead of putting off the old man, putting on the new man, he wants us to get back in the flesh and the old man and live the way we used to live. And so that's the reason Christians sometimes, are you with me now? Listen. Judge not that you be judged. Because any Christian can get in the flesh. And when you get in the flesh, and you start doing the things that you did in the flesh, nobody will ever believe you're a Christian. And that's why they're so upset with Christianity, because they see so many Christians living in the flesh instead of the Spirit. That doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means they're not living the way God wants them to live. Amen? Are you with me? Well, I hope you are. Because I have just through the Word of God and through the Scriptures given you I'm going to close with this. The woman at the well, if you've read the book, if you read the Bible, you know about the woman at the well. She was a religious woman. And Jesus comes and said, give me a drink. And she said, what are you doing to a Jew? You're talking to me. You're supposed to not be talking to me. Jesus said, well, if you tasted the water, this water, whoever drinks of this water from this well will die and will thirst again. But whosoever drinks the water that I give shall never thirst again. This is in St. John chapter 4, I think. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And boy, she said, Lord, I want some of that water. And she tried to get in an argument with him over where she should worship, here or in Jerusalem or whatever. Jesus said, woman, listen, then the hour comes, and now is, really. You won't worship him here or there or Jerusalem or wherever. Verse 20, you don't know what you're worshiping. But he says in verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's why you can worship God anywhere, at any time, because your body is a habitation of God through the Spirit. God is the Spirit, verse 24, and they that worship Him must, everybody say must, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Let's everyone stand. Now, if God has spoken to anyone through this message, and you need to come to the altar for any reason to get to pray or to turn your life over to God or pray for somebody or whatever you need to do. Maybe some of you, you know, God's told you, I want you to be a member of this church. We receive members. If they've never been baptized, we're being baptized. And they have been baptized. We receive them just on their statement of faith that they believe in Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, for whatever reasons, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to come for any reason, you slip out and come on right now. And let's get together in this closing prayer. And then if you want to talk, anybody will talk with you after the service and try to help you any way we possibly can. Let's have our dismissal prayer. Brother Ronnie Hale, would you dismiss us, please, sir?